Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Ms. Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific, a full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always like to offer this brief disclaimer in the beginning of the show. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the hosts, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Our brief description of the show is, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All of these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration assessments for minority members of this society or any members for this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this introduction, just join us as we seek truth on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics that they find interesting.
Hey, Wright. I want to welcome you right here to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. 2 minutes past 7, 7:02 p.m. in West Texas. I'd like to take just a moment to give a shout-out to my uncle. He's the oldest member in the media family. He's oldest and I'm next. And I'd like to take a moment to say may God bless and keep my uncle and his family. And he's had some extreme health concerns, and I pray that God will grant him a speedy and complete recovery. Uncle Fred, God bless you, and I hope you get well real quick. As quick as you can, and I hope that your recovery is going to be complete. Hey, I want to welcome you to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, and also I'd like to send out some prayers for those people over on the Mississippi River who are having some extreme difficulties over there with the water and flooding and all that. if you'll that Mississippi River has been quite a nemesis for any number of years. And I would implore you to look up the flood of 1927. Mississippi River flood of 1927. I would encourage you to take a look at that. I got a chance to see it on the Weather Channel one day. I hardly ever watch the Weather Channel, and for some reason I was on the Weather Channel and they were showing this story of the flood of 1927 on the Mississippi River down around Louisiana. I think they might call it the New Orleans flood of 1927. But it's quite an enlightening piece of literature and cinematography. I've tried to order it, and it's been on back order, and it's very difficult to get, and it's reasonably expensive, but I think it's worth an investment. I'd love to get that the flood. I think it's the New Orleans flood of 1927, but it's an eye-opening experience, and I encourage you to take a look at it. This week we're going to be hitting on, and let me say thanks to Chocolate Nips and the Nook for the contributions that she made to the show. I was trying to, I mistakenly, I don't know how I missed this, but I'm going to get it uploaded, and I have it next week for sure. Her promo, it's an excellent promo, and I really appreciate it. Miss Chocolate Nips, appreciate your help. And we're going to have a poetic interlude during the show with two or three pieces from the Nook, and they're on Pal Talk, www.paltalk.com. It's called, Chocolate Nips the Nook. Nips and Nook, I believe, is what it's called, the room. And it's poetry. And one reason that I've tried so desperately to encourage poets to be a part of what I do here, and I understand that because there are other poets that are really some serious poetry rooms, lounges, or shows on Blog Talk Radio. But let me say that Chocolate Nips and the crew in the Nook are serious poets as well. But there are some shows, and I'll be talking about them a little bit later on in the broadcast. But starting off tonight, what I'd like to do is to give some kudos to our president. Of course, you do know that I am an Obama supporter, 100%. Obama supporter. I'm not a liberal, I'm not a progressive, I'm a Democrat. And I support President Obama unwaveringly. And agree or disagree, you're welcome to give me a call at 347-945-7040. But anyway, what I wanted to do was to kick off tonight. I wanted to kick off tonight with an article that I pulled up. President Obama recognizes the Freedom Riders' 50th anniversary, and this story was done by Maurice Garland, Wednesday, 5/4/2011 at 11:38 a.m. Freedom Riders' 50th anniversary. Freedom Riders, 50th anniversary. To celebrate the efforts behind the Freedom Riders that happened May the 4th, 1961, President Obama has offered an official signed document making today the 50th anniversary of the Freedom Riders. Read his words below. 50 years ago, America was struggling to implement the ideals of justice and equality set forth in our founding. The Freedom Rides, organized in the spring of 1961, were an interracial, nonviolent effort to protest the practices of segregation. Setting out from Washington, D.C. on May the 4th, 1961, the Freedom Rides sought to actualize the decision in Boynton versus Virginia, which held that interstate passengers had a right to be served without discrimination, and to challenge the enforcement of local segregation laws and practices. The Freedom Rides, organized by the Congress of Racial Equality, CORE, CORE, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, and other devoted advocates built up the boycotts and sit-ins that were defying Jim Crow segregation across the South. The Freedom Riders themselves were black and white, often students and young people, committed to the cause of nonviolent resistance. Along the way, buses were attacked, and men and women were intimidated, arrested, and brutally beaten. The publicity generated by the courageous freedom riders as they faced continued violence and complicit local police drew the attention of the Kennedy administration and Americans across our country. Through their defiant journeys, the freedom riders sent a resounding message to the rest of our nation that desegregation was a moral imperative. The freedom riders also motivated and mobilized the next generation of civil rights leaders. The unflinching bravery and unyielding commitment of the freedom riders inspired many of those involved to become lifelong activists, organizers, and leaders in the civil rights movement. Today, we remember the freedom riders for the sacrifices they made in pursuit of the rights we now enjoy. They showed that people working together across backgrounds and boundaries could hold America accountable to our highest ideals and bend the arc of history towards justice. They showed that young people have the power to generate a movement for equality and steer the course of our nation. Because of their efforts and the work of those who marched and stood against injustice, we live in a country where all Americans have the right to dream and choose their own destiny. Now, therefore, I, Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim May 2011, as the 50th anniversary of the freedom of all Americans to participate in ceremonies to honor the freedom riders and all those whose rights during the civil rights movement. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this third day of May in the year of our Lord, 2011, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 235th, Barack Obama. He signed that. You know, when I read this, I go back and take part of this, take it apart, take a little bit of it apart, and take a look at it. 50 years ago, this is 59 years old. See, I was 9 years old when this started. 50 years ago, people were fighting for freedom and civil rights. 50 years ago. There were those people, if you look at the counter to this, who had been enjoying freedom since the inception of the United States of America, 1776. So there were people who had enjoyed freedom in America for generations prior to the 1960s struggle. 50 years ago is when this Freedom Riders effort was put forth. So America was struggling, he says, to implement the ideals of justice. What in the heck is a struggle to the ideals of justice and equality? If you all of the pledging of allegiance and saluting the flag and the parades and, you know, all of the patriotism, what is a struggle to implement the ideals of justice and equality? But the people had a struggle with that. I mean, can you imagine the quote-unquote Americans who had a struggle with implementing the ideals of justice? I mean, this is what your court should have been all the time. From 1776 up until 1960 and on up until today, there should always have been justice and equality. The Freedom Riders organized in the spring of 1961, where an interracial nonviolent effort to protest the practice of, this is the practice of segregation. Segregation forcibly divided American citizens. The forceful division of American, and what that entailed was the denial of a large segment of America of their civil rights. Civil rights that every citizen of the United States should have experienced. Nobody was begging. Nobody was pleading. People were simply saying, how can you stand against your own constitution, your own laws, and create segregation? It's maniacal. It's insane. It's absolutely insane, incomprehensible that any supposed citizen could have stood against any other citizen and denied that citizen their civil rights. Setting out from Washington, D.C. on May the 4th, 1961, the Freedom Riders sought to actualize, put into action, in other words, and it's always a decision in Boynton versus Virginia. We didn't need a dang decision. The decision was already made. The decision was already made. And let me take a minute to give you the reason that I say the decision was already made. The opening of the United States Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson in 1776, states as follows: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Let me say this very clearly, very distinctly, as articulately as I can. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. See, it didn't say all rich men, didn't say all, it said all men. What do you have a problem with when you read that? And you expect that me personally should subordinate or back down, not say something that's, I could care less about you if you don't understand that. All men are created equal. You know, this was in 1776. You know, 1776. And we have had to go on, you know, all this long. I'm trying to, 185 freaking years. 185 years from 1776 to 1961. And then people have a problem with every citizen's civil freaking rights. You know, well, you need to come to me and I don't need to ask you for a squat. I don't need to back away from you for a squat, for a diddly, as Haley Barber would say. You know, who in the heck do you think you are if you don't understand this very simple terminology? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And if you don't like that, take it up with the Constitution of the United States. I'm just telling you. That's all I'm doing. I'm just simply telling you. Anyway, we continue on. President Obama was saying, sought to actualize the decision of Boynton versus Virginia. How many different litigations did we have to go through? 185 freaking years. 185 years to satisfy somebody's ego. You know. Oh, you're superior. Oh, should I bow down to you? What the heck with you? Get a grip, son. Get a grip on reality. Oh, get out of it. Anyway, and then, you know what? I got grandsons. Can you believe it? I have grandsons. And there's still fools out there walking around thinking that we're supposed to bow down. Oh, you ain't give me a cotton picking thing. 185 years you've been enjoying yourself, and then you're going to sit up and try to make me. You better get the heck up out of here. You know what? I went to work for this company in the state of Texas. It actually was the largest electrical company in the state at the time. And there were guys, actually, I was 22 years old. This is 1972. And there were guys that I worked with. And these guys would attempt to engage me in intellectual conversation, which it's impossible when you're talking with an imbecile. An imbecile does not understand plain English, in my opinion. Or they can read it. They have all the powers of the capacity to decipher, but they don't utilize those skills. And they would tell me the government got you your job. I said, the government got me my job. No, hell no. You kept me from getting your job. Who in the heck do you think you are? What makes you superior or even to consider remotely the possibility that you could have any concern of being a superior? Please. Yeah, I hear people talk about so-and-so supremacist. Supreme and that word don't even go in the same cotton-picking sentence as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, President Obama said, along with that, the case was Boynton versus Virginia, which held that interstate passengers had the right to be served. Why should you, without discrimination? Why, you know, a citizen is a freaking citizen. The best you are, the best, the most, the Bill Gates is a citizen. That's all he is a citizen. That's what we got in common. 24 hours a day, air we breathe, food we eat, so forth and so on. And he's a citizen, I'm a citizen. He's wealthy, I'm not. That's it. I owe you no more than that. Your citizenship and my citizenship are the same. That's it. Bottom line, case closed. Don't look for me to celebrate you because you're going to be waiting a long. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what, hold your breath until I do. And that'll get us on the right footing. But anyway, people tell me, calm down. No, I don't want to calm down. This is too important. This is too significant. My grandchildren shouldn't have to deal with what I'm dealing with. But you deal with this every day coming from where I'm coming from. Understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, the enforcement of local segregation laws. But how in the heck are you going to locally segregate another citizen? A citizen is a freaking citizen. You see, this is what Wisconsin found out the goddamn hard way. When we were fighting in the 60s for civil rights, they thought it was black civil rights. Hell no, it was for civil rights, period. Citizens deserve civil freaking rights. And people used to go, oh, I feel so sorry for them. And then turn around now and say, oh, they're trying to take away. Oh, hell yeah. They did it way back then, and you didn't say a word. Yeah, you just sat there looking, oh, my God, those poor people. Hey, you are one of those poor people if you don't understand the real deal. The freedom rights organized by the Congress of Racial Equality, they organized back in the day. And we should, with all of our differences, should be organizing today and coalescing as groups who have pride in their ethnicity, in their culture, and respect for each other's ethnicity and culture. But there are still those people who feel that other people should subordinate themselves, should bow. Oh, not, no, 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 no. You go on the other side and vote over there. Don't vote over here with me because you'll never understand. Grow up, and when you grow up, you'll come back to this side, and you'll learn how to vote the way I vote. And others, devoted advocates, built up on the boycotts and sit-ins. They had to do this, defying Jim Crow. Jim Crow was a malicious, sadistic, atrocious, horrendous period of time when people got killed for no good reason. You know, people couldn't get a cotton picking job. Well, I say cotton picking. Well, you couldn't get paid for picking cotton. You know, you just did that for free. You know, just go work for me for free, and I'll go ahead and make all the money, and then I'll whip your, you know, I'll whip you, and then I'll give you some bread and stuff. And, you know, if I give you a little bit more, then you need to be really appreciative and look at me, you know, with admiration and all this kind of stuff and respect, because I'm an ethical, moral fool, you know. I mean, and then you got these people. I was listening. Anyway, let me continue. The Freedom Rides organized by the Congress, built upon the boycotts and sit-ins. The Freedom Riders themselves were black and white. You know, white, to me, has two aspects to it. The people that were with these people, regardless of the color, white, they knew that their color was a coincidence. It wasn't, that was all. It carried no other weight than that. There are those people who have conceptually the idea that since I am this color, then you should bow. You know, take that and shove it. You know, take it and stick it up, you know, because that is not going to be happening. You know, there are people who have acquiesced, capitulated, bowed down, you know, gone along with you and your stupid ideas. And I feel bad for them, and I really don't feel bad for you. And now, you know, you've thought you can ride along and not put forth, not persevere, not put forth any effort, and you get passed up, and all of a sudden you're, well, they are not taking anything but what their rightful place. 185 years you had to catch up, and you sat there, did nothing. And so now look at what's happening. Anyway, the Freedom Riders themselves were black and white, often students. Study students, elitist, you know, students, educated individuals and young people committed to a cause of nonviolent resistance. They had to resist these fools who refused to change. They were KKKONSERVATIVE. They want to conserve the way it was. Don't happen. Time, life is progressive. Life changes. It goes every day, evolving, evolving, evolving. If you could model it, and you could hold on to a minute, and it would never turn into an hour, then I say that you could hold on to the way it was. But if you can't, then you better get with it or get out. Do like what President Obama told what's that guy, the Syrian dude? Either get with the change or get out of the way. One or the other. Because we don't really need you out here today running your mouth. We don't need that. We don't need that. And he called me uppity. Oh, there's the call me uppity. Oh, he's radical. That was another word. Because I believed in my own personal civil rights as well as the rights of my family, my friends, my associates, as did many other individuals of different ethnicities, colors, and cultures. And I appreciate them, and I commend them for tireless and relentless effort in diligently pursuing what was right for the U.S. as well as the world against these fools. And now they want to, you know, walk, drive with it. This is what I was going to get to. And, I'm going to cut off of this right quick because I get really, really into this. I love this stuff. But, you know, there is a thing going around, I don't know, I'm sure you've heard about it, where that people want to get their, they want to use, hey, Alpho, my bud, hey, what's happening, my man? Alpho, hey, bless you, brother. I'm not all men, I'm black. My denial of racism, your human rights stance is questionable. I live in Texas. Alpho, hush, give me a call, man, daggummit, 347-945-7040. You know you're always welcome, brother. Give me a call if you get a chance, man. But hey, Alpha, have you heard about the driver license? They want to keep the Confederate driver license. You know, and I'm sitting here like the Confederate. And there I got guy hit my blog site the other day. I got a blog site. You check out my profile on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll see I got a blog site. Anyway, I don't write very well, but I write from my heart the best I can. Anyway, this dude hit my blog site, and he concurred with me on a lot of things that I was saying. But the point of it is that My thought is that you want to wear this Confederate flag on your license plate, which to me shows that you want to defend traitors who seceded from the Union and fired on the Union. And the debate that I had was, well, the thing that one guy disagreed with me about was, he said the Barbary Pirates were the first terrorists, but I said, I meant, and I didn't clarify that, I'm sure, on American soil. The first terrorists to me on American soil were the Confederates. They got their behinds whipped, as they should have. The Union won, and they're still fighting this dang Civil War. Still trying to, you know, rationalize the idea that they should be superior to anyone. There you are. Thank you, brother. I see you. I'm sorry. Hey, Brother Alfo.
Hey, Black. How are you this evening?
I'm all right. How you doing, sir?
Black, you know, you saw what I posted in the chat room. Black.
Oh, you know I did.
You know, this is like two brothers, you know, fighting in the house when mom and daddy ain't home. I want you to explain to me, because I've heard you say it on a number of occasions, that there is no racism, that there is no race for all the human race. And since the beginning of your program, you've basically proven my case that it's all about racism, and it always has been about a system of white supremacy that basically separates us into race, and that's what it's all about. If it's not about race, what is it about? You know, the two gentlemen you work with were basically beating you over the head with affirmative action as though you didn't qualify. You didn't matter. You've experienced it in your own workplace. You live in Texas. My point, you know, I think I've won this debate, you know, right off the bat, because there's, I mean, it's just too many examples of that this is all about race.
Well, hey, brother, let me explain to you my concept, and maybe that'll help out a little bit. See, the thing of it is, if race was a determinant, then there couldn't have been people who could pass for white, because you would know that their quote unquote race was. See, somebody constructed this idea that there was a black race and a white race. To me, that's totally erroneous. There is only one race. These people are so taken by color. This is all about color. As long as you fit this color spectrum thing, you're okay. You can get by. You know, and that's why, you know, it's like if I saw you wearing a pair of red pants and I was mad, oh, look at Alpha, he thinks he's something, you know, I ought to jump on him because he's – I mean, that's to me how idiotic it is to suggest that, you know, I prefer a color that you should also prefer. And this is about, that's to me what it's all about. And even, you know, we're all human race initially. And to me, there are different colors, there are different ethnicities, different cultures, but we are only one race. And so, you know, I don't know if you've experienced it. I've been in Texas for 59 years, brother. And I've worked, as a matter of fact, right now where I am, I'm the only brother there. They have Hispanics, they have Anglos, and I'm the only brother there. Now, I'm going to show you something, what happened the other day. And I really, this was, after 59 years of living, this really amazed me. Alpha, let me tell you this. These guys are younger than me. Probably the oldest one of them is like 33, 34, maybe 35. I don't think he's even 35. But we were having a discussion. And these guys always talk about comedians, and you know, they're into, because, I mean, they're making good money, they're young, and I mean, they're just happy dudes, man. We're, you know, the petroleum industry, and it's kicking down here, you know. But the thing of it is that these guys were talking about Dave Chappelle, right? You know who I'm talking about?
Of course I know who Dave Chappelle is.
Yeah, and they were talking about, you know, Dave Chappelle, and they were laughing and just, I mean, and I'm like, well, I'm laughing with them, you know, because they were talking about the way that he, you know, I watched him do a thing with Lil Jon or whatever his name is, and, you know, it's really kind of comical and everything, And when I said, and I mentioned to him about what President Obama said about Donald Trump, their faces changed. I mean, all of their faces at the same time. And it was like, let's see, one, two, three, four guys. All of their faces just went solemn. Because I told a joke, they were talking about Dave Chappelle. You know what I inferred from that, brother, is that, you know, it's okay for, still in this age, for you to entertain me, but for you to be intellectual, I got a problem. I mean, you know, these guys had a problem with that. They really couldn't, and you could see them just like struggling, trying to, you know, they didn't know. Finally, then the little group broke up, and I was kind of laughing to myself because I was like, you know, Dave Chappelle made these guys feel very comfortable. President Obama makes them feel very uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure that you run into that because, to me, you're a very serious guy. And I think you were raised – were you raised in Illinois or is that your home state?
Chicago, born and bred for the last 58
Woo.
Years.
Woo-wee.
Now, what you have described to me
mm-hmm.
and what you have said and when you've been speaking, if you
mm-hmm.
first said one thing, that
mm-hmm.
how do people pass for white?
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
pass for white because of what is known as genes. And if
mm-hmm.
they come out with the grade of hair, color of eyes, and the complexion, and the hue,
right.
the lack of skin tone,
right,
and they can pass.
Right.
It has absolutely nothing to do with color because they pass. They choose to pass. What you experienced on your job
mm-hmm.
was beat over the head with affirmative action.
Mm-hmm.
And when you referred to President Obama,
mm-hmm.
the entire tone of
mm-hmm.
the conversation changed as long as it was on Dave Chappelle, his brilliance as a comedian. We can
right.
be comedians, we can be athletes, we can be sports entertainers,
mm-hmm.
we can be dancers, we can be singers, but we
mm-hmm.
can't be intellectuals. You
right.
are missing the point of
okay.
white entitlement, white privilege, and
mm-hmm.
atmosphere of white supremacy. When you deny
mm-hmm.
that race
mm-hmm.
has anything to do with this and it's all one race,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera, what you are simply
mm-hmm.
denying is the history of this nation. You didn't just live
mm-hmm.
through slavery or you
mm-hmm.
didn't just live through the Klan. You didn't just live through Jim Crow. You didn't just
mm-hmm.
live through the new Jim Crow, which is simply
mm-hmm.
The rise of the nigger breakers. What you are
right.
living is
right.
reality.
Right.
So the Klan have taken off their white hoods and,
mm-hmm.
and sheets, their 500 and 700 thread count sheets, and now they are
mm-hmm.
represented in black judges' robes, political
mm-hmm.
suits, police uniforms. Why do you think the Klan has never been declared a terrorist organization? Because
I
that
agree.
Means that the majority of our government
mm-hmm.
is a terrorist organization, and that
mm-hmm.
is bad. Anytime you can have legendary Klansmen who were law enforcement officers, who were judges, who were congressmen and senators, anytime
right.
you can have a president with ties to the Klan,
mm-hmm.
you have the Klan.
Mm-hmm.
And if
no,
you,
I don't.
You,
go ahead.
I have sent you links on what a former. And I can't call him a racist, but he leaned that way with a prejudice. His name is
right.
Tim Wise. And
I
you can
that.
Check
yeah,
him out.
I've seen
it. And he basically lays it out for you. And this is a white man laying it out for you. Race has
right.
always been at the focus and at the forefront of what we have experienced here. You have to
mm-hmm.
give some credence to our ability to persevere, our ability
mm-hmm.
to stand up and say, we are not going to be defeated by this. And even
right.
today, what did you see when this president, when this first African-American became president? You saw
mm-hmm.
the rise of the Confederacy, the rewriting of history, the states' rights being brought back up. What do you think
right.
that is? Did you
right.
see the 400 or 500% rise in militias and hate groups? Have you seen
mm-hmm.
the open the open racism of elected officials that are throughout the land, the bigotry of a Newt Gingrich, the total race baiting as a racial arsonist of a Pat Buchanan. It is okay to send pictures of the president face imposed on chimpanzees, or for leading news publications to produce cartoons with a chimpanzee shot, and the caption saying they're going to have to get someone else to craft a new stimulus package. This is about race. And you don't have to be a black nationalist to understand that where you are now, to deny that, you know, it's about race. Yes, there is a human race. But when you put it out there as such a, you know, as such a stretch that murders by white officers on black unarmed civilians and by police officers who elaborate their stories, such as happened recently on the Danziger Bridge in New Orleans. When you get these Scott sister stories, where you have sisters getting double life sentences for an $11 robbery that they did not commit, and then you sit back and say it's only the human race. These are just a few stories out of thousands throughout this nation that are happening on a day-to-day basis. And it's not so much to say we have to fall back into that black nationalist corner and fight any and everything white. I approach everyone as an equal, but I am not given that same benefit of the doubt.
Listen, let me tell you what, Brother Apple. I totally agree with you, except for this, that the premise is that there are different races. There is only one race. This is about color. Trust me. This is about color. And what happened with the Sky Sisters, and what happened with let me say, Bobby Yates. You know, I know you've heard about Bobby Yates. I heard Sister Cotton and Sister Olajami and all on Miss Blue the other night. And let me tell you, Bobby Yates. I got that site somewhere. I'll pull it up. But, you know, that's happening up in Paris, Texas. And that's about probably about 6 hours from me. Initially it was about Shaquanda Cotton, who is Miss Cotton's daughter, and that's how I, you know, really kind of got kicked off into this stuff. But the thing of it is, Brother Alpha, is that these guys have tried to create such a differential between us. And listen, I'm not saying I want to come together based on this differential, but what I'm saying is it's not legitimate, the differential. And when you say, like, I have an argument with a lot of my brothers in the chat rooms about I don't believe in the term white supremacy. I understand the concept of denial, but I don't even – see, white and supreme don't go together to me. If you were supreme, regardless of whatever, I would know it. You wouldn't have to impose it with murder and with mayhem. You see – so I don't, you know, I say, you know, whatever it is that they utilize to brutalize, is, you know, I understand that. But don't, I mean, they don't should present me with the idea, because I'm not going to go around every day talking about white supremacy, because it's not, they're not supreme. I tell my children that color doesn't make you supreme. What makes you supreme is when you put forth the effort and a relentless effort, and you master whatever it is that you need to master in order to become a proficient and efficient at whatever it is that you do, that, you know. But when they break it down to me about, you know, it's a race. No, it's not about a race issue. This is about a color issue, and this is how psychotic it is. If it was a race, it would be kind of like anthropology. It elevates it to me. I don't appreciate them even trying to elevate it to a scientific perspective. And then they'll tell you, well, you got the Mongoloid. No, there's only one race to me. Now, I'm as far as the struggle goes and what we're going to try to do to get things done, you know, I'm with you 100%. But as far as how we come to that conclusion, I come to that conclusion by saying that this is about something so simple and so infantile, so infantile as color. And this is going to make a differentiation because we are, number one, citizens. And what you hear a lot of these guys say, blacks, the blacks. I say black American citizens. See, they always want to leave out that part as if. It's implied that when you're white, you're a citizen, and black is like, you know, and then they tell you, well, you should compete with the Koreans. You should compete with the – I'm an American. Koreans have an embassy here. You should compete with the Mexicans. I'm an American. I don't need an embassy here. The Indians, the any other cultural group. I don't have to. This is America. And what they've tried to do is skillfully disenfranchise me from American society. And to some people, they're beginning to come around and realize it, that, damn, you know, they have tried to. I mean, these guys have been, they've been trying to separate. No, we are Americans, and we deserve every opportunity and chance that any other American does. And if you don't want it, like this guy used to say, and his guy, you know, I won't go into the details, but he used to say, everybody is entitled to the tree of life. And if they're not, you ought to chop that manga banga down.
Well,
and that's
well,
the way I...
Black, under your philosophy, you speak,
uh-huh.
you speak of things as they should be.
Right.
Rather than approaching things as they are. Under your philosophy,
mm-hmm.
Jim Crow never happened. Slavery
no,
never
no,
happened.
No, 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 no. I've never
all
say that.
One thing. You speak of it as though this is how it should be. And this is how it... It can be. I am speaking about reality. This is the
right.
way you deny white supremacy. And you speak about,
mm-hmm.
you want to take the
I
word.
I do deny that. I don't deny discrimination. I don't deny atrocities. But white supreme, never. I never say that whites are supreme.
Because you are leaning on the word supremacy and trying
mm-hmm.
to marginalize it as being somehow legitimate. It is illegitimate,
mm-hmm.
but it is in play because of the power it holds. They hold the power, and that's
well,
all it's to do is who holds the power. Now, if you don't think that white supremacy has held the power in this nation for 400 years, you tell me who has. Tell
well,
me that
all right.
black man has been equal.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
no,
say
no.
that. Like there has been any, there's been no equals there.
Right.
You can't tell me. Look at what they're doing to Hispanics, legal or illegal.
Mm-hmm.
It is wrong to enter this nation illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Be treated as such. But
right.
now the brush is out, and they're all being treated as illegals. Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all
mm-hmm.
terrorists, but are they being treated as all terrorists? In this nation,
right.
by a certain group of people in this nation who call themselves American, but they,
mm-hmm.
but everybody is a part of the human race. But they have used it and separated it to a
exactly.
point where they use this as a culture war. They use it
exactly.
to demonize people. Look at how
mm-hmm.
initially they demonized Hispanics,
mm-hmm.
peoples and illegals. They are those
mm-hmm.
who are born here, and they are those who have come here.
Right.
Legally or illegally, they
mm-hmm.
demonized everyone. There
well,
was no
you know,
separation of how Hitler used Nazi propaganda
mm-hmm,
to demonize
mm-hmm.
and therefore kill 6 million Jews while on another front and coming in the bowels of ships. There was a
mm-hmm.
bigger Holocaust than the Jews have ever witnessed or been a part of.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
But when you start... separating and talking about the human race, you're
mm.
generalizing, and you're
no,
simply
taking no.
the entire scenario
mm.
of what reality is. And that's been
I'll
my
tell
own.
You what. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish your thought.
No, I was. I'm just saying, you know, it's not about being a black nationalist. It's not
mm.
about being
I'm
somehow.
Not saying that. Don't say I'm saying that. I'm not
no,
saying
no,
that.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm
simply saying that what you are saying that is that somehow none of this matters. Somehow that none of this has been, you know, I would have to say affirmable. None of this has been right.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that either. look, bro, I come from the same place you come from. I'm 1 year older than you. But what I'm telling you is that, huh?
You come from Texas, and when I say it like that, Black, I'm just saying this. You should more than anyone else in this country understand white supremacy and racism because you more than anyone else experienced it.
I understand. Here's what I understand, bro. I understand that there are how atrocious white people have been. Okay, but I never acquiesce to the idea that they were supreme. Okay, now that's the point.
You're defining supreme. We know what the word supreme means.
Right, but see
you
what I'm telling you. To my idea,
what happened?
To my idea, listen. To my idea, those kinds of subtle details and subliminal suggestions, they mean something to me. And what I do is that I want to win, and I'm not going to sit up and hold on to this idea. Trust me, I'm on the same side you are on, and we would fight back to back. Trust me on that. But what I'm telling you is the way we look at things is different, but we come to the same conclusion. What I believe is focusing on my power rather than somebody else's ability or at least perceived ability to impede my power. So what I'm doing is changing my way of thinking to be my battle is different. But I hear you. I hear you, and I acknowledge you. And, yeah, I've been in Texas, and I'm telling you, when I tell you my story, I've been through some things down here. And it's not easy being down here going through what I've been through. But what I'm telling you is these guys, and I tell them to their face, you're not supreme. There's nothing great about you. And it's all about color, and it's idiotic for you to deduce. I tell these guys it's idiotic for you to think that your color, just the color, makes you, you are just at best a citizen, the same as me. And these guys try to, you know, blacks this, blacks that. No. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with denial of privilege, denial of opportunity, you know, denial of what's stated in the Constitution of the United States of America. You know, then, you know, they bring it up. Well, the reason that we could do this is because we're superior. Your race, no, it's not. I'm not a different race from you, boy. I'm the same race. I'm just a different color. You disallowed me opportunities because of my color, and I don't appreciate it. I absolutely detest it, you see. But my battle has to be to win, not to argue with this fool that'll argue with a signpost. Because when I show him in the Constitution that I just read earlier, that all men are created equal. Well, but back then, you weren't considered a man. I don't give a damn what they say about back then. See, the only difference between is gender back when the Constitution was written. That was the only difference. And the only way that you can make a determination, in my opinion, about gender is anatomical. See, there's a difference in the plumbing, the functioning of a woman versus a man. And back, they didn't recognize the idea. They didn't want to accept the idea that all men were created equally. And I know the reason why. You know what I'm going to tell you? The reason why is because these guys back in the day wanted, quote-unquote, what they considered to be a pure race. And they know that our genes are very strong genes. And so it's like these guys just preoccupied with this idea that, oh, God, we're going to, you know. He wakes up, looks in the mirror, and he sees me. He looks at his wife, and he sees me. He looks, or you. You know what I'm saying? He looks at his children. He sees you or me. See, I don't look at, I see us. I see our families. I don't have to worry about him and his, you know, he's got to worry about me. See, the one thing that I heard a while back, well, it was the High Plains Drift, I believe, says, the guy says, this woman told him, says, they're afraid of you. He said, no, they're not afraid of me. They're afraid of what they know about themselves. And that's what exactly the deal is. So I keep moving forward, just like with your show, and I want to tell people that you do a show on Saturdays at 2 p.m., and I am grateful, I'm privileged, I'm delighted, honored, and so appreciative, brother, that you would take the time to visit with me, and I want you to know that I have total and tremendous respect for you. Trust that, okay? So,
that goes, that's a two-way street. That's just, it goes both ways. And, you know, like, I would not, you know, I understood that I could engage you in this kind of conversation and there be no hard feelings. I understand that.
No.
And I accept that.
You know better than that.
When we speak back and forth like this, I think it only strengthens and, you know, it gets people who are listening an ability to acknowledge. You know, this isn't about the technical definition.
I understand.
Of supremacy.
I understand.
This is about racism, and racism is defined as those who have the power to affect the lives of people.
Okay.
And that's exactly what has happened. They have the power to affect our lives, and they have affected our lives for over 200-300 years.
Well, I'm going to take advantage of you right quick on 2-3 different issues. Here's two, three different issues right here. The one is, did you hear the speech today?
No, I didn't. On the Middle East, I didn't sit up and watch it, and I'll tell you why. He has said nothing different or taking a different position than any other president. The one thing he did do was he said it out loud about the 67 border, the border lines.
Right.
And that's what all the president has said. I already know that the right is coming at him as though he's betrayed Israel. He's thrown Israel under the bus. Oh, Israel. This is as bad as the uproar over Common coming to the White House. This is just as bad as his birth certificate. Just as bad as give Bush credit for killing Osama bin Laden. This is just how many examples of pure, unadulterated, raw racism is it going to take before people come to understand that this is all about race? It's no race card. The deck is racist.
Hey, listen, here's what I'm saying. Here's what he told Assad. He said, Assad, fundamentally, he said, you can either lead your people or you can get out of the way of freedom. I mean, you know, see, what this is boiling down to is Gaddafi. And a lot of brothers, I understand, the Muslim brothers, man, they think that he's attacking, Gaddafi and he's a, you know, Gaddafi's a dictator. And he's done a lot of harm over there on the continent, man. That dude has literally run the continent over there. And this other guy, the guy that got busted for trying to rape a maid, you know what I heard? I was listening to Warren Ballantyne today. And this dude, Warren Ballantyne, now he said this real quick, I mean, you know, just passing right through. But what he said was that this dude, this AKA or AKS or SAK or whatever his nickname is, I can't think of it, but they said that this dude was talking about forgiving African governments their debt, letting it, writing it off. See, the IMF, man, they got what they call
these
vulture
capitalists. Yeah, you have to understand who the IMF is. And the IMF is at the base of most of the world's catastrophes financially. The IMF is at the base of the Haiti collapse. The IMF is at the base of the collapse in Mexico that's driving people northward. You have to understand who this man is. This man was set to become the president of France. He was head of the IMF, one of the most powerful financial.
It is the most powerful
shadowy,
in the world.
Secretive. You give it a name. That's what they are.
A bad name.
And the mere fact that he's been caught with his hands in the cookie jar, he was indicted today. Because the DNA matched up. And now they want to shift from rape to consensual sex as a defense.
Yeah.
The
and that was
fact,
a sister, right? She was from Ghana?
The what?
I think it was a sister.
I haven't
seen a picture.
Her nationality, however you want to put it. Now this is when it doesn't even matter. At this point, this is a classic example, Ice, of race doesn't matter.
Right, right.
This is your best example of race doesn't matter. The mere fact that the DNA lines up, the mere fact that what she did, and did you hear his daughter is trying to give him an alibi. The cameras. Are you going to believe the cameras? The cameras show her running out of the room. The cameras show that he was there, but his daughter is trying to give him an alibi. How much spin can you stand? It's not about if you, and let me put it like this, if you spin, you win. If you can spin it successfully, you can win it. I don't care what it is. If Arnold Schwarzenegger could spin his love child, he would. He can't. Newt Gingrich is trying to spin his way to the presidential nomination. He can't.
Hey, brother, listen, here's what I'm telling you. And it's, 8 o'clock right around here, probably 9 o'clock where you are, 347-945-7040. Hey, welcome guest, 13699. Brother Alfo on Saturdays at 2 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, ALFO, and part of the Truth Network, brother, is that right?
Truth Network. CEO is Janice Graham of our Common Ground.
Right, Miss Janice Graham. Did I call it? No, I was there. I don't know if I showed up when you were hosting for Sister India Declare. I was there and I was listening to you. So hey man, kudos to you. You know that. But you know what? In addition to what you were saying about Sarkozy, that's the president of France. But
his name is something Khan, Amir Khan or
something. Khan, yeah, that's his name.
I don't know, Chaka Khan, Amir.
Leave me alone. Hey, Alfo, here's what I'm. You know what? You made me forget my other thought, man. But one of the things I wanted to mention to you, and I'm sorry for poor Arnold. But anyway, one of the things I wanted to mention to I know what it was. Is hey, Dr. West, man, what's up? What's up? What's happening? What's going on with that, man?
Let me put it like this. Mm-hmm. Arnold West is a well-respected
academic.
He's a philosopher. This critique of what the president has done falls far short of where it should be. When I say falls far short, he should have left it. Where to the point of why is he only now stepping up to criticize the president for holding him accountable? See, this is nothing more than this Tavis Smiley approach.
Yeah.
Tavis Smiley approach. See, Tavis Smiley was a Clintonista. He wanted Hillary.
Oh, okay.
And when Hillary Clinton didn't get it, then he picked a fight with Barack Obama because as candidate, he didn't give him any type of acknowledgement by coming on to his campaign or where the Black America was.
The state,
he was going to send Michelle, but Tavis didn't want Michelle. This is an ongoing battle, and this is a battle that Cornel West wants to take up. But like the man said, Cornel West came off as a birther. He came off as nothing but a birther. When he referred to President Obama as some type of mascot for whitewash.
Yeah.
Let me put it like this. Surrounding himself with the people from Goldman Sachs, Bernanke, Geithner, Summers, do you think for 1 minute that the Federal Reserve would have taken a bunch of newly appointees and worked with them? Do you think that they would have been able, that they would have accepted the advice, the criticism, the appointment of anyone other than an insider? See, the people inside the Fed will have absolutely nothing to do with any newcomers who are not a part of the group. The stock market was at $67.92. In 2009, when this president came into our, or in 2008, when it crashed and Bush left office, it is now above 12,000. It saved 401ks, it saved pension plans, it saved quite a bit of our economy. Now, that has nothing to do with the jobs. You cannot lay the slow growth of jobs at the feet of this president. Between the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, between the corporations that are sitting on trillions, between the Republican Party, who are all in cahoots to tank this economy until they can get rid of this president. They're going to have to tank this economy all the way up through the year 2016. These people will do anything to regain power.
Right.
And
unless
look at what they've been holding hostage. Shutting down the government.
Yeah.
Hey, not raising the debt ceiling. They've raised this debt ceiling for 8-9 years in a row with billions added to the debt ceiling.
The Bush administration, in
2000, the deficit was $5.8 trillion. When he left, it was $11.9 trillion. He added over $6 trillion to the deficit. And now they want to whine about spending and about deficits?
Hold that thought. I got a caller. Hold on. Hello, caller. Are you here? Can you hear us?
Who are you talking to, me?
Hey, listen here. Hey, Brother Alpha, this is Sister Rabia Ahmed.
I'm just listening. Good evening.
She was just listening.
I'm just listening.
Oh, too late. You're on the air. Hey, hey, Brother Alpha.
I didn't know that that was me. I didn't know that that was me, Black Ice, but I have a cold. And
Okay. I won't bug you.
I probably sound kind of mannish.
You don't sound
Hey.
Thank you, Alpha.
But
hey,
I am enjoying Brother Alpha.
Yes.
I'm enjoying him, so
well,
I just want to continue.
He's trying to make fun of me because I'm from Texas. He's from Chi-Town. Hey, Brother Alpha, let me do this right quick. Hold on, don't y'all go nowhere. And I always got to say this. This is Miss Rabia Ahmed, the organizer of SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, a program in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, designed to assist especially women and their families who have had difficulties in their lives. The program actually aids the women and their families in regaining their social and financial footing. Sister Rabia does considerably more than just talk, and I always want to thank her for sharing with us. www.smart2change.org. www.smart2change.org. Sister Rabia Ahmed. Brother Alpha, meet Sister Rabia Ahmed, a wonderful little sister. Bless her. God bless her. And I wish you get a chance, y'all get a chance, you get a chance to visit your show sometime.
Well, I'm glad to meet Sister Ahmed.
Nice to meet you.
I'm not versed on your organization, but I'm glad to hear. I'm willing to. When are you on?
She comes on. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. You guys usually come on during the day, but during the day, I'm at work.
But Brother Apple's on Saturdays also.
Oh,
on
I can get him.
At 2:00 Central Time on TruthWorks Network at 2:00 from 2 to 4.
Oh, I could come on to Saturday and listen.
Well, it's TruthWorks Network at 2:00.
I'll visit with her and have her, if God will, I have her be aware of what all. And if you get a chance, what I do, Brother Alpha, if you don't mind, Sister Rabia, I'll share some information with him, Brother Alpha.
No problem.
And maybe email address or something, and y'all can get together or something.
That'd be great.
Would that be okay with you, Brother Alpha, and that way you could make a determination about her?
Absolutely.
And what she's doing. Thank you. I appreciate it because, like I say, we talk about the denial of services and which is actual reality. And you know and I know and Sister Rabia knows, but Sister Rabia has gone a step beyond. And she you don't mind, I'll share this with if she doesn't mind. She's a very modest individual, but and I only share this to have you understand that she's legitimate. She's in the law enforcement community right now, or a counselor, I believe. Am I right, in the prison system?
Yes.
Okay, and she her initial degree was law enforcement. Am I right?
Yes.
And the degree that she's working on, as she has this organization off the ground, brother, off the ground and moving, and she's servicing individuals and working on a degree in social work. Am I right?
Behavioral science.
Okay. So, I mean, I can't help but appreciate her, if you know what I'm saying? And I whatever I can do to help her out, I sure will, because she's working with the young brothers and sisters that get caught up in the as I understand it, I she can talk for herself, trust me. So, but I, you know, I never know if she's going to talk or not, so would you? You know.
I got a really bad cold.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you. You know I appreciate you. You sound great,
though. I just wanted to listen. Thank you.
Well,
I'm glad.
You just listen. I won't take you off. I'll just let you sit right where you are, if you don't mind. Would that be all right?
I don't mind. Thank you. Nice meeting
you,
brother.
Nice meeting you, sister. Man.
But, she's SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, smarttochange.org. And she started this organization. I met her dad, Brother Ahmed, and her family have all been, not necessarily formally involved with being of assistance to the community. You know, just people that used to help out in the community, and she's taking
mm-hmm.
it to the next level, to where it is a formal, where she has programs that are designed to help people get over addiction and learn trades and how to do apply for jobs, all this different kind of stuff. So, but anyway, brother Alpha, I wanted you just to meet her and if you get a chance, I'll give you some information about her and you can look it over or whatever. But also, I wanted to mention Bobby Yates in Paris, Texas. JusticeForBobbyYates.blogspot.com. JusticeFor Bobby, BobbyYates.blogspot.com. Get a chance, check that site out. And he's a brother, Brother Alpha. I don't know if you've heard about him. That he has, he's in a wheelchair, has no legs, and they filed charges of, molestation on him. And actually, the individuals who tried to do that were individuals who tried to take advantage of him. And then the police in that community flipped the script. I'm sorry?
Isn't this the brother that who was trying to be a good Samaritan and let someone into his home?
Exactly.
Then all of this other stuff jumped off and the girl
talked about. In a wheelchair, without any legs,
and you talk about it's not about race.
Don't get me on that. I'm not gonna mess with you. I'm gonna let you go.
And you tell me. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
I understand
what you're fully saying. You know, that is just another example of the tragedy that is this United States of America. They threw Reverend Wright under the bus with his goddamn America statement.
And they took it out of context. Because
how many people have gone and listened to the entire speech? He is absolutely correct.
Exactly. Absolutely correct. That's
but no one will go and listen to the speech. No one will go and get the full context of what he said, but they will simply take what Fox News has put out in a loop and demonize and vilify this brother and to with absolutely nothing to back it up. It's the same thing. Guilt by association for the black man when you have Ron Paul, Greenspan, Newt Gingrich. You have the entire right-wing apparatus over on that side, the corporate protectionists. And they have one thing in common. There is one person in common that they all adore, that they all look to as a mentor. Her name is Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand, absolutely.
And if you don't know who Ayn Rand is, you need to Google her. But don't just Google Ayn Rand. Google her Superman. Google the person that she most admired, the person that she looked up to.
A murderer. Yeah.
His name is William Edward Hickman. William Edward Hickman was a kidnapper, a serial killer, and a murderer of a 12-year-old girl. And Paul Ryan, Ayn Rand is mandatory reading for everyone on his staff. Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Alan Greenspan, all of these Republicans hold Ayn Rand to such a high esteem. So when you want to talk about guilt by association, this tells you how inept progressives and liberals are in pushing and demonizing. You know, when Republicans want to get their point across, they find a target and they demonize that target. Let it be Mexican, Muslim, black, immigration. Let it be health care. They demonize it. Let it be social programs, pensions, firemen, teachers. They demonize it. And then they bring it down. Let it be Acorn. Let it be Shirley Sherrard. They demonize it. They vilify it, and then they bring it down. But then when you want to push back on oil companies and the rich, they get out right away within an 18-hour time span, and they yell and cry victim. Oh, they're trying to culture. They're culture warring. They're trying to redistribute the wealth from the top to the bottom, when actually they're distributing the wealth from the middle class to the top.
Exactly.
They admit nothing, deny everything, and accuse everyone of what they're most guilty of. Did you hear Newt Gingrich said, anyone who quotes what he says and uses an ad is a falsehood? Or did you hear Kyle say over 90% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortion? And then that wasn't intended to be a factual statement. Look at what they are doing.
Right,
They have fooled the white people in Appalachia, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Ohio, and in Pennsylvania, in New Jersey. If they have fooled them with campaigning with this Trojan horse, this Trojan horse that they drug into their midst with, and on the side of the Trojan horse, you have to picture this as a cartoon, was prosperity. Around the head of the Trojan horse was jobs. And on the other side of the Trojan horse, it was more jobs. And coming out of the belly of the Trojan horse was union busting. It was pension default. You know, every one of these states' pension has been raided by every one of these states who reneged on their promise to contribute to these pensions. And now, because we have lost 52,000 factories since the year 2000, and the revenues have dried up because of the massive millions of jobs that have been outsourced, and then to hear Republicans say, we don't have a revenue problem, we have a spending problem, when the chart shows our revenues have fallen from more than 21% of the GDP to now below 17% of the GDP, and they are able, with the sound machine and the power of the right wing echo chamber that is the media, to tell and convince people that we don't have a revenue problem. They've been cutting taxes. Taxes are at the lowest rate since for the last 50 years, and now they're looking to cut more taxes.
You know what, Brother Apple? Here's the thing that I will interject right here. One thing that I appreciate about Sister Abiy Ahmed is that she is providing a solution. And what this program, your program, Sister Indy Declare, Miss Quiet Storm, and Sister Navazar are all providing alternative media. And that's what I'm so appreciative of, that we get a chance to gather with each other and bring a different perspective. Because, you know, once you get a full dose of the corporate, and I spell it KKKORPORATE, corporate media, then you realize that you're not getting the real truth, because they can't. I mean, I watched them do a show this weekend, and these guys all have the same perspective. And you know, I was going to say there's a lady that people need to read. I was going to do an article about her earlier, but Sister Melissa Harris Perry,
right.
Sister Melissa Harris Perry, in response to
Carnell West
said. Oh man, she was eloquent. I was listening to Brother Al Sharpton today, and she was on there. A sister named Karen Hunter also. You know, and I'm following them on Twitter and so forth. And you know, they are some phenomenal individuals, and we just have to be made aware of it. And what has to happen in order to address these issues that you're talking about is you have to change the congressional matrix. And the only way you can do that is by either one voting or helping to promote the change, the significant change in the congressional matrix. Because when we got to get this Senate filibuster proof, we have to get the House strong enough in favor of making a difference besides being an obstructionist, to the extent that we can get the individuals that have been nominated by the president out of committee. Because the essential thing that's getting ready to happen is there going to be a consideration for redistricting. There's going to be a Supreme Court justices that have to be nominated. And the only thing we a lot of people laid out the last election, 2010, they were angry because of universal health care. They were angry because of the union, the president not being vocal enough. But listen, the Republicans vote Republican, period, regardless. And what we have to do, in my opinion, is change the makeup of Congress. You know, if Republicans were 100% for the people of the United States of America, there wouldn't be any discontent. There wouldn't be any contention when Ryan went out with his plan. Ryan and the Republicans will not take his plan out on the circuit and try to promote it anymore, because they got such adverse reaction to his plan. And let me throw these out here, brother Apple. Let me do this. I got to do a little business, but can we do this again?
Sure.
You know you're always welcome. I really appreciate you being here. About 7 minutes to do a little business. I want to do a quick little business, and then
all right. Take care, man.
I love you, brother, and thank you so much. I appreciate you. God bless. All right, talk to you later. Let me go through here right quick. I said Sister Nips, and thank you, Brother Apple. I really appreciate Brother Apple calling through. Always appreciate it. And you, if you have a chance, give us a call, 347-945-7040. But I always like to mention the other show hosts that I've had a chance to listen to and to some degree be a part of. One, for instance, is Sister Indy Declare. She's on daily 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday, I believe now. And Sister Indy Declare, INDIADECLAIR, Indy Declare Show. Sister Navazar, NAVAXOR. She's on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, NAVAXOR1. When you come to Blog Talk Radio, put her in the search block, and you'll find her. Sister Janice Graham, who is a Brother Alpha was associated with, Our Common Ground on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Brother Alpha is on Saturdays at 2 p.m., I believe Central Standard Time. Sister Janice Graham, JANICEGRAHAM, Sister Janice Graham, and Our Common Ground. And Brother Alpha, always so much a pleasure. He and I love to have debates with him, and not really debates because I always lose. But anyway, Brother Alpha, ALFO, Alpha, 2 p.m. Saturdays on the Truth Works Network. Go to the search block, type in Alpha at Block Talk Radio. Miss Quiet Storm, she's back with a vengeance. You got to check her out. I didn't get all the relevant information. I thought I would this week, but I didn't. Have to work, you know, hoping to retire this pretty soon. MSQUIET, Quiet Storm. Miss Quiet Storm, and she's heard on Saturdays, and she's back after a brief period away from Blog Talk Radio. And I will mention Dr. Reba. Dr. Reba Haley, The Covenant Connection is her book, Your Best Marriage Now, and you can find her at www.rebahaley.com. And Love Productions Incorporated with Miss Nikki Love is an excellent show. You get a chance to check it out. She comes on at 9 p.m. today. This is Thursday. Really enjoyed her show and the topics and the discussion. And her co-host and so forth, Miss Nikki Love on Love Productions Incorporated. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention The Poetess. The Poetess, D-P-O-E-T-E-S-S, The Original Poetry After Dark, Fridays and Tuesdays, 10 p.m. To 12 a.m. Central Standard Time. And 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's The Poetess. And she has some off-the-hook poetry. And I'm going to share some poetry with you before I get out of here. Harlem Talk Radio, Thursdays at 2 p.m. When I'm off, I get a chance to check that out. But he is a very informative show. I got a chance to listen to it. And Keith Olbermann on Current TV. And sister, I have her in here every week, is Miss Henrietta Lax. And remember, please, SMART 2Change .org. SMART 2Change.org. Sister Rabia Ahmed. And with that, I'm going to close the show out. 26 minutes past 8, and you're here with the next phase with Ice and Friends. And I just want to share some music from Nips. And just Chocolate Nips and the Nook, I can't remember the exact name, but I'm going to have more of her, and I'll share it. But I appreciate Brother Alpha and the back and forth that we did. This particular one is Black Man, A. Smith, featuring Brown Skin, and I hope you enjoy it. Peace, respect, high regard to you, and may God be with you, whomever you choose to call God, until we meet again. Closing. And also, let me say, the Crosswalk Coalition is a group that my son's associated with, and it's T-H-E, then it's C-R-O-S-S-W-A-L-K, then it's C-O-A-L-I-T-I-O-N. That's on Facebook, and you'll get to see a picture of my son on there, and I'm going to see if you can see if he looks like me. Anyway, here is Black Man with A. Smith featuring Brown.
Black man, the complexion of strength and might, the forefathers of our creation, the epitome of greatness, the loins of majesty, reproduction. I can't say that I have been the best towards you, black man, and I will not say that I've always stood beside you, black man, yet know I adore thee for striving to be the best you can be while labeled and categorized from the system repeats too ignorant to see. Yet, black man, I humbly bow before thee and acknowledge thee my covering of protecting serenity. Yet, black man, I know you do all you can, and you continue to make time for your responsibilities. Yet, I need to say to you, black man, I adore you for being patient with me and allowing me to see the worth of you, yet showing me and teaching me that there's so much more to you than stereotypical cliches of the snake between your legs. We all have been around the way sometime or another, whether last night or back in the day, and yet, black man, you have a mind of creation, a boldness of determination, the essence of royalty. The hurt of yesterday became a scar of today. We proudly peel away and see the pinkness of your DNA, and yet, black man, you are all human in all your ways. forgive me and mold with me the greatness of two. Yet I can't disrespect you, black man, and call you my man, for you are more than men. I was taken from your sleeping shell, created from the bone, the rib used to shield and protect your heart, and yet I caused thee hurt. Forgive me, black man. I see you more than a boyfriend. I see you a king. I can't lay claim on any man, but rest humbly in your friendship, black man. The essence of tomorrow's future. Know that I couldn't function without you. We struggle together in this corporate structure of infidelity. I stand true with thee, black man. I understand, black man, the process of submission and seeking you my covering, black man. Your skin able to radiate the energy of the sun and produce the production of farms. You are my hero. Your arms of muscle and legs of strength, callous hands, bent backs. You are my inspiration, black man. I felt alone and you showed me your solidarity through hours of endless talks. I understand, black man. You have a position to hold. Although I hurt thee, forgive me and allow me the chance to grow whole with thee in the presence of our enemies, filtering positive projections through covering and faith. I adore thee, black man, for the power of your being.
Speak. Bathe in the warmth of the morning sun.
I'll wait for you.
Bathe in the warmth of the morning sun.